Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show, the special Elite
Cut.
Edition.
Cut.
Sorry, and that's no, this week's to, episode. Thank you for joining
redo
us.
We have to redo the show.
All right. So, I really enjoyed our topics. Thank you, TO Sohos, for being our sponsors today. Ewan, thank you for being you. And Muller, thank you for making sure we have people on the episodes. We are done, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We might have forgot some things like introductions, topics, unimportant stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. So this will be the big show special extended ending edition. And now that we've actually wrapped up the show, Ben, welcome back. How are you?
I am great. I am finally not tired from 5 days of all film festival, no eating and no sleeping.
You know, I don't feel sorry for you at all.
Neither
and
do
I mean
I.
That in a good way. Yeah. Film festivals are awesome. I'm glad that first that Dubuque does one, and second that you were able to participate.
Yeah, for anyone that doesn't know, yes, there are films, but it's basically a week-long theater nerd party.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yep. Cool. Patrice, how are you?
Doing good, I think. I don't know. It's been a bit of a interesting week. I did my good deed for this year yesterday. Someone had an accident, and like a car accident in front of the house, and I went downstairs and helped out. And yeah, fortunately, I don't know, but it didn't look like much happened. I mean, two cars that are severely destroyed and one person that went to the hospital, but probably for alcohol-related reasons. I don't know.
Oh, no.
So yeah.
I live next to Wisconsin, so we call that Tuesday through, well, Monday.
Yeah.
Tuesday through Monday. Yeah, this checks
Tuesday
out.
Tuesday to Monday.
Yeah.
Checks out. Yeah. As I said, could have been much worse, but yeah, it turned out to be okay. And I was kind of relieved. The only strange thing was I could not remember the number for the emergency services. I had to Google it. Because all I kept thinking is 911. No, that's wrong. Because it's not 911 here.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, it's 999 to 911.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, 999, by the way, is the number in the UK. So
yes. Yes.
Yeah, no,
and
it's
for
one,
people
if,
that don't.
Yeah.
If for you, people don't. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, if you're ever in Europe, 112. Just saying.
112.
Yeah, and
all
for
right.
People that don't know, 9 is also no in German.
Yes. For people have listened long enough, I mean, that's Muller's favorite German joke. Like,
it's,
he keeps saying
it's,
9.
It's his standing joke during our holiday quiz episodes.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the public hero Patrice episode.
Yes.
No, I said it was fine. I mean, it took a while. Like the EMTs couldn't figure out whether like he was talking about pain, and they couldn't get out of him whether that was pre-existing or not. So, well, yeah.
Man,
he kept saying he's an alcoholic, so I think they believed him. So,
when someone tells you they're an alcoholic, it's just a good thing to believe them.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. As I said, so that was like, I didn't see what happened. I just heard it. So I don't know really. But yeah. That's it. It could have been worse. It was fine. Like, seemed to be rather okay. But I felt bad for the neighbor's car. Like, I don't know who that is, but I felt bad because like his car got kind of destroyed and didn't do anything. Parked on the side. So
that just sucks.
That sucks, yeah. I mean, the driver, his own fault. So
mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it's a sickness, and I know enough people who like fought it, and yeah, mm-hmm. I don't blame him really. Because yeah, probably not a choice. But yeah, right. It could have been I mean, could have been much worse. Let's put it this way. I was surprised he still has a driver's license. But then again, I don't know whether he had. So I like not my business.
Yeah, that is a bold assumption that he actually has a driver's license.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah, as I said, it was fine. Like it just wasn't what I had planned for last night. So
yeah, get that.
Yeah, that's good.
So both of you have had interesting and exciting times. Not so much here. Well, no. I guess the closest to exciting, at least for me, is that the Boulder Wednesday evening farmers market started yesterday for the season.
Nice.
Which means there's a different local brewery that has their beer there every single week. There's live music, there's good food, you know, the usual farmers market stuff where you can buy vegetables and all that. Mm-hmm. And also my favorite ice cream truck, it's called Best One Yet. And
that's a good name.
And it's all vegan, which means that it's Jeff nice. Safe because there's no dairy and their ice cream is really good. So
this is, wait a minute, you're doing your cool thing right away.
Well, since we already wrapped up the show and didn't do cool things, might as well.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm like, I had really good ice cream twice last weekend from the same place, basically. Well, the same owner, but two different cities. Like, there's a, it's not, I could, well, it's technically a chain, I guess, because it's in, like, it's in two cities. So I guess it's a chain. I don't know. But it's all owned by one guy. That was really good. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah,
they're still working on the ice cream shop that's going in right across, well, basically right down the block from me.
That's, no. So nice. That's dangerous.
Yeah. And speaking of farmers markets, tomorrow, no, the day after tomorrow, because I forgot Friday existed, I will be having breakfast burritos at the Dubuque Farmers Market.
Nice.
Jeff, what I wanted to ask you is, like, do the farmers markets move from Phoenix to the Colorado? Because this time of the year is in Phoenix, like, is when they shut down.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if that's a thing. Because, yeah, this time of year, it's about when you just really can't do that down in Phoenix.
Yeah, like, probably already crossed 100 degrees Fahrenheit, so 37 degrees Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Yeah. Now, okay, so we do this thing with the farmers markets where they wrap up after Halloween, because by that time, at some point in November, the weather's just too unpredictable. Mm. And but then they do one day in December. So it's like the whole thing shuts down. But then you come back a few weeks later in December and do one day.
One day, it's fine if the weather's unpredictable.
and it's weird because there was one year where went to the farmer's market on the December day in a lightweight jacket. But usually I'm in a down coat. So, yeah.
That reminded
and
me
snow boots.
Of... Yeah. That reminded me of that one time when, like, there was actually weather in Phoenix, and I went to the farmer's market, and they were not ready for it. Not at all. Like, nobody knew what to do when it's raining. So, I mean, they had, like, the little tents and so on, but, I mean, that's against sun, like, for shade and not for, like, rain and wind.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, we are changing the name of the show from The Big Show to... that one time at Farmer's Market.
Right.
I love it. I love it.
Yep. Yep. All right. So for those of you that don't know who I am, I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host sitting in for you and Rankin. And yeah, so there you go. So should we do some post-show news stories since we've already wrapped up?
Might as well.
All right. Let's see. Redshirt. Ben, you have the first story.
Yeah, Roger, no, I am not dying on this podcast.
Well, unless you're Scotty.
We're not going to put you on the away team.
Okay.
So,
oh, this is good.
Yeah, so if you die, it's only because there's a core breach or something.
Yes, this is true.
Which is probably going to happen in the next 5 minutes. So.
Yes.
Totally, yeah. Totally possible.
It would be very on brand. So we're going to talk about the one topic that you would never think you would ever hear about on the show.
And certainly not this week.
Yes. The WGA writer strike. However, there is an angle that is very near and dear to us because we literally had a show about it a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. To recap, what was it called between the rock and the hard place?
Phoenix. No,
sorry. SOL.
Yes. We here on the big show put some stuff into ChatGPT and came out with a AI generated script.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, apparently the major television and movie studios are actually watching this show.
Do we get royalties from that? Because
we would be the only one getting royalties because that's what the writers are on strike. Mm-hmm. So a big sticking point of the negotiations between the two sides of the Writers Guild of America and the AMPTP, which I know sounds like a Beavis and Butthead abbreviation, but is basically all the major studios, is, the writers, for obvious reasons, do not want AI script generation. Well, to save money, because they don't want to actually pay anybody, the major studios do want this.
Mm-hmm.
And to be clear, I mean, you wouldn't be having ChatGPT be the entire writer's room. This would be mostly for what are called treatments, where kind of like what we did, ChatGPT comes up with a base story and then physical humans clean it up and turn it into something actually usable.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially would take additional writer responsibilities away from writers who, with the current downplay from 20 some episodes a year to about 6 to 12 at the high mm-hmm. end, are already feeling pretty hurt.
Yeah.
Combined with let's face it, streaming was not a thing the last time these big industry contracts were made. So they're not, a lot of them aren't getting what they deserve from that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, this is a generational determination on mm-hmm. how writers are going to be able to make it in the film industry.
Yeah. And I mean, like, a bunch of writers have on social media, on Mastodon and so on, have shared quite a lot of interesting stories. And I mean, there was, I remember one, like, where someone said, yeah, basically my show was moved like from my network to streaming, and my pay went from, what was it, $200,000 a year to zero because my contract said broadcast rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get anything, and like stuff like that, or like shows get streamed like forever and ever and ever, and they make money with it, mm-hmm. but they get paid basically a yearly salary, and that's it.
But I mean, this is just the biggest example on how generative AI is going to change things.
I mean, it can go like the thing with AI is it's a tool. And yeah. I mean, just like, I don't know, the people who did typesetting for printing machines, Like nobody does that anymore. But that freed up time to do other things. So as long as basically the like the writers basically they can use the tool to do something, but then they have the spare time to do other awesome things, and it doesn't change like how much money is basically invested in a writer's room and how many people you have there. I think it's fine. Like I don't think they would complain about that if they had it as a tool, but the writer's room is the same as before. The risk is what you said, that basically the studio says, well, we only need whatever, two people, because the other 10 we can replace with some AI machine. And that is a risk for them.
Yeah.
And I'm honestly, that's not just the risk for the writers, that is a risk for all of us. Because the quality of a writer's room is not in writing words, not in itself. It is in the ideas, in the creativity that is in that writer's room, in the people that bring their backgrounds and all of that. And AI does not bring that. AI just, like, especially the large language models, they just repeat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And which brings me to the other point of it. They are saying, there's a lot of people in the industry are saying that what AI pretty much does is akin to plagiarism.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I would say it's not plagiarism, but it's also not, like I said, it's not creative. Like, it's, I mean, like a lot of, I mean, I think any writer, and Jeff, correct me if I'm completely wrong, but any writer, to some extent, you copy or steal ideas. Like you see something, write something, say, oh, this is a good idea, and you apply it on something else. You don't copy the content that someone has written, usually, I should say, because there are sites that do that, but usually you say, hey, this is a good idea for an article that I want to write. I can apply that to another topic, that idea to another topic X. That is technically, it's definitely not plagiarism, but it's still stealing an idea at least, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, to it. I mean, okay, so what you're describing, Patrice, that's there. It's a gray area because it depends on your intent and how you go about it. For example, let's say you write an article about the value of large language models in science fiction writing. And I think, oh, that's a great idea. And then I just straight up steal that idea. And because you wrote an article on the value of large language models in science fiction writing, I turn around and write the same article. Now it's my words, but I totally stole that from you. But if it's something like you write that piece and I think, oh, that's a really good idea. And then I think about it and think, okay, so maybe I can come at this from the angle of what role can large language models play in the development of content for the sci-fi industry? Okay, so I'm not plagiarizing. In that sense, I was, I suppose, inspired by what you did. And then I took that, figured out what my concept was, and then wrote my piece, which is not the same thing as what you wrote.
And to some extent, that's where the creativity is. Like that's, I mean, a lot of creative work and ideas are built on other people's work and on things that have existed previously. That's totally fine. That's kind of that gray areas, I think, where a lot of interesting things happen. You take something that maybe existed, but you apply it in a new way or see it in a new way, watch it in a new way, whatever, and you get something new out of that. So I think that's fine. As you said, it's inspired. It's not stolen.
And that's also where the writer's room comes in. If anybody doesn't know how they work, I mean, you may see a credit written by someone on a script, but the entire writer's room will have input into that. So if you go a little bit too far from inspiration into basically stepping on someone else's toes, you have those other voices who say, maybe we should change this up a bit. Maybe this is too derivative.
Yeah, too boring already done, like, for sure. Yeah, and I mean, there was this interview that Chuck mentioned on the Mac show last week at NAB with Brett Goldstein. And he talked about that a little bit, like the value of a really good writer's room is not people sitting at desks and writing words. It is that collaborative process, the sharing of crazy stories, of sometimes deep personal things that like shouldn't leave that, but then inspire things in storylines and so on. Like that's the value of a writer, of a good writer's room, and you need a group of really good people for that. You can't replace that with an AI and one person.
Right.
Yeah, I'm 100% with them. I mean, also on the pay side, I'm like,
absolutely.
So just for fun,
and
what we've been talking about. Oh, go ahead.
Before we get to this, I do have to give this disclaimer that I probably should have before we started talking. I do have several friends who are WGA West and WGA East members.
All right. So you have an extra insight.
Exactly.
Oh, not necessarily a extra insight, because on purpose, I have not yet talked to them about it. But there may be unintentional bias.
Yeah, but it's okay. We all have that. We all, I think, to some extent.
And this is an opinion show.
That's true. Yeah, but it's good that that you mentioned that still.
All right. So while we've been talking, I had ChatGPT write a new introduction for the big show. And I would love to read our new introduction. So the prompt was, write an introduction for the Big Show podcast. So here's the new introduction. Welcome to The Big Show, the podcast that takes a deep dive into the world of entertainment and pop culture. From the latest movie releases to the hottest music trends, our expert panel of hosts will cover it all. Each episode will bring you interviews with industry insiders, reviews of the newest releases, and discussions on the hottest topics in entertainment. Whether you're a diehard fan or just looking for something new to watch, The Big Show has got you covered. So sit back, relax, and join us for a fun-filled journey into the world of entertainment on The Big Show podcast.
It's absolutely, other than the title, nothing correct. I mean, for sure, you didn't give it too much of an idea what we're doing, but like, no.
No. But hey, you know, there you go. Thanks, ChatGPT.
I think we should change the show.
it would be something like a bunch of Yahoos talk about tech and usually take about half the show to do the introduction.
Yeah, sounds about right. That sounds about right. Should I throw in my story?
Sure.
Yes, and, you should.
I told ChatGPT it's actually a technology podcast, and it apologized, changed the name of the show, and wrote a completely different introduction.
Okay, what did it say now?
So here it says, so what I've replied was, it's actually a technology podcast. And it says, my apologies for the mistake. It gives me a new intro. Let me introduce you to the Tech Talk podcast, your go-to source for the latest trends and innovations in the world of technology, from cutting-edge advancements in AI and machine. I could go on, but
I give up.
Oh my god!
But it shows you what this really is. This isn't intelligent. This is statistical probability.
Yeah,
of what the next word should be.
Yeah, it's. I mean,
yes,
it's still my favorite paper about it. The stochastic parrot. It's just that. It's so brilliant in its description of what it can and can't do. It's. I mean, that's why like nobody like in research nobody calls it really AI. They say it's a large language model because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's maybe a piece of an AI later on, but it's not its own thing.
Yeah.
Right. All right, Patrice. Now let's see your story.
So from artificial stupidity to human stupidity. So Mercedes-Benz just released their monthly subscription for a high performance mode in their cars. I don't care about cars the least bit really, but this I found hilarious. So basically you can buy a really expensive car. It's like, I think it's like sub $100,000.
Yes.
And then you need a 60, like for the type of person who buys an expensive car like that, like mm-hmm. to begin with, they need a $60 a month, or I think it's like 600 a year or something. Yeah, 600 a year
mm-hmm.
subscription to unlock the full performance of the car. Like otherwise, yeah. I guess it's not as fast, which probably nobody cares about. But if you want it really fast and in front of your friends, you want to be like, I have the fastest car, blah, blah, all of that bullshit. You have to pay a subscription price for it.
Oh my God. And if you have one of their more expensive cars, that goes up to $90 a month or mm-hmm. $900 a year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there is apparently a one-time purchase price of, what was it, 19, almost 2,000, or I think almost 3,000 a year.
Yeah.
Not a year, the total. So I guess if someone really cares about it, they could just buy it. But
yeah,
this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think most of the people buying the EQS will be doing that, mm-hmm. and they can afford
it. If they care. Yeah.
Yeah. But because, I mean, mm-hmm. 60 to 90 bucks a month is like, oh, I just found that in my change.
If you have this much money to buy a car like that, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the same.
Yeah, go for it.
At the same time, especially with what Tesla is trying to do, I mean, these kind of things always start at the luxury cars and then trickle down.
Mm-hmm.
This will be eventually where basically the entire audio industry is now on the freemium model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the part I don't understand. Like, I mean, like I can understand if you're paying for extra services. Like, I don't know. I mean, like satellite radio was back in the day one thing, or like mm-hmm. streaming service that has costs. But this, I mean, they already shipped you the hardware. Like this is literally just unlocking something that your car already has and that you some way already paid for. Because I don't think they're gonna ship it to you and not have you pay for it some way, because like the cost is the same
mm-hmm.
yeah.
for them. So I'm like, what's the and that is the part I don't understand. It's the same like the seat warmers that I think was BMW did, where you
yeah,
needed
that
a
was
subscription.
A BMW thing.
Yeah.
Like I just don't get it. I'm like either do the car like do as you said, a freemium model, like you get a basic car and then like unlock things, but then it's not as expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. they just calculate that most people will unlock this many, and this is why this is kind of the price. This many features, or just add the, especially at that price, just add the freaking 3,000 and be done. Like, I don't think on a $100,000 car, the $3,000 for this acceleration thing will be a big deal.
No.
I can see where car manufacturers are going to be unintentionally creating a very robust aftermarket for for older used cars.
Yeah, hackers. Yeah. Hackers will hack the car to unlock the performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, a car out of warranty and mm-hmm. you're buying it from a person or like a used car dealership, and they have no association with BMW in this case, and they jailbreak your car for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the other part to this, I could definitely see, especially the luxury car models moving more even further into the lease model. So they physically still own the vehicle.
That's true, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I said I don't get it. Like, I mean, I'm not a car person, so maybe mm-hmm. I mean, this is for sure not for me. But like the performance increases they get are even like it doesn't look for me. I mean, purely on the numbers, I'm like, so what? It's like 0.9 seconds faster.
Well, that's actually quite a bit.
But from six seconds to 5.1, probably not.
Oh yeah, that's a yeah. People okay, will pay $100,000 for that.
Okay. But, so yeah, but then I mean, but then just buy it before and be done. Like
yeah.
this is overly complicated for something that I don't understand. Like why this has to exist?
Well, because I mean, they're testing it on the highest income people to see if it can gain any traction.
Yeah. Okay.
Hmm.
Seeing if anybody will be so stupid to buy this.
And there will be some people that will buy it.
Like you can't even argue, oh, like the higher performance, you need a different motor or that the wear is different and like all of that. No, like nothing changes. It's literally just the switch that gets flipped and then you have it. Like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not even a physical switch. It's a software. Oh.
Yeah.
Switch.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Anyway, most of the times nowadays, everything is software. But like mm-hmm. as I said, it's like you don't get any extra warranty for your motor that now has more wear or any like anything where I would say, okay, this makes sense because it's different now. Like it's just flip a switch.
You know, I've never been a big fan of BMWs. And yeah. the company is working incredibly hard to make sure that I never am.
Yeah, and Patrice, didn't you have to like sit in your driveway with the door open just to update the thing?
I couldn't even open the door. I had to sit in my driveway in the car for like an hour and a half to update it. I couldn't leave the car. I couldn't do anything else. Like the second I opened the door, it would pause. And then shut down because I wasn't in the car anymore.
So, that's ridiculous. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, that's BMW for you. So I'm never buying a BMW again. Like I get, I mean, I'm probably never buying, hopefully never buying a car again, but at least I'm not planning on. But like, nope. Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Well, since there's just three of us, it looks like I'm bringing a story today.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
And my story brings together something near and dear to my heart and something that I am absolutely not an expert in. So near and dear to my heart, the whole Star Wars universe, something I'm not an expert in, gaming. Well played, Ben. So here's the deal. People are pissed off because Electronic Arts servers, EA servers, went down. So single player games, stuff that shouldn't require an online server connection to function, mm-hmm. stopped working. You couldn't play any EA games, and people were flipping out.
Yes,
yeah, it's their anti
not in the game.
Yeah, the EA was not in the game.
Yeah, it's probably the anti-theft, anti-like jailbreaking protections, right? That bricked it basically.
Probably.
And this wasn't a particularly good time for that because Jedi Survivor just dropped.
Right. And people are going insane over this game. And all of a sudden they couldn't play it. So, so basically what it comes down to is if you buy EA games, you have to have an internet connection to be able to use them, period.
What if you're in the middle of nowhere and all you have is 2G?
Then you better not be buying EA games. You're not going to play them on your laptop on an airplane either.
Unless
you're buying Wi-Fi.
That is true. That is really bad. Because, I mean, other like I mean, if you're in continental, like US and some airlines, I think also Europe, you might have Wi-Fi on board. But a lot of airlines, and especially internationally, that's not a guarantee yet.
Right. All right. So Adobe, a company that so many people are pissed off at because they went to subscription model across the board. They get it right when it comes to the license verification. So if you're using Creative Suite, you or Creative Cloud, you need to your apps need to verify with Adobe servers whether or not you are current on your subscription so that it knows if the app should run or not. They don't check all the time. The apps check on a periodic basis. And if you don't have an internet connection, or if it's obvious the servers are down when it goes to check, your apps don't stop working. They'll just continue working until they can verify.
Yeah,
And
or some timer expires. Like eventually they will stop, but like there's enough time to
yeah, it's a
stop.
reasonable thing. So it's long enough so that you can actually continue to work, but not so long that you can just turn off Wi-Fi when you want to use Photoshop and you're fine.
It's long enough that if you're working from Mars, you can like request a new license key from Earth and get it sent, right?
Right. And it'll be fine.
That
Yeah.
will be fine.
Yep. So, Elon, if you need your Adobe Cloud, we'll send it to you on Mars.
No, I
It'll be
would send
waiting
him a
for
little
you.
bit farther away, but
Yeah.
Pluto
Anyhow.
sounds fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you know who doesn't have any problem with verification?
You know, I'm rubbing off because clearly, you are getting much better at the whole segue thing. Yeah, and Ben is absolutely right, and also very prescient because I was about to do a my own transition. So Ben, I loved your transition. My wording was going to be, you know who doesn't have server problems? That would be TSO hosts. And we love TSO hosts because they are here supporting us every single week by giving us the bandwidth and hosting space we need so that we can live stream shows and so that there's a place for the website to live. Also, so there's a place for all the show recordings to live. So you have the option of watching or listening live, or watching or listening at your leisure. And you can do all of that. Like if you want to watch live and then you're thinking, you know what? The episode where they started with the ending, that one was so good that I just want to go watch again. You can do that. TSO Hosts is a web hosting company. So what they're doing is leveraging for us what they do really, really well. And we definitely appreciate that they're here for us. Now, what they're asking is that we just go out on social media and thank them for being here supporting the British Tech Network. Super easy to do and good karma. So please go online and let TSO hosts know that you're glad they're here supporting us. If you want to set up a website, so you need hosting and you have that awesome domain name idea, well, use them for that. Get that domain name in your cart, get your web hosting package in your cart, and then add the discount code BTN20, and you'll get 20% off your order. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. You rock. Also, Ben, I am very proud of you, my Padawan, with your transition skills. Well done, sir.
I did use the force.
Obviously it showed. And so now I'm going to use the force. Patrice, tell people about the chat room.
Of course.
Oh, it
So,
worked.
yay. So if you are listening to this live right now, or like in the future, you can also do that. Every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, also Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show if you're into the Apple side of things, because we usually stay away from Apple as far as we can on this show, so you can enjoy that. And we don't geek out about Apple all the time. Yeah, then like head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you're in. That's how easy it is. You can talk to us live. You can see the links live. You can see the cool things live. Literally everything. Showtimes change sometimes. So yeah, make sure that you check our social medias or our website for like updates. If like, it's rare, but it does happen sometimes. But let's say you are listening to this in the recorded form in your favorite podcast player of choice or on the website, for example. And you're like, oh, I would really like to see all those links and the cool things and see what they talked about, all of the good things. Of course, you cannot join the live chat anymore. That's past. Unless you have a space-time vortex of some sort, let's invent another word, and you can hear a subspace space-time conduit, I don't know, something like that, and you could time travel and join the live chat, but usually you can't, but you can still get to the recording, to the Patrice, transcript.
I think you're thinking of the subspace temporal conduit.
Ah, that was it, yes, that one we need. Yeah, so head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar pops up and you have to put in a date, and you put in today's date as we are recording it, which I'm going to tell you is May the 4th, 2023. May the 4th be with you, 2023.
So say we all.
So say we all. Yes.
And with your sport and with your force spirit.
yes exactly. So yeah, and then you see everything.
Awesome, thank you Patrice.
This is the way.
This is the way. Yes. Okay, now it's time for some cool things. So I was about to say who has the first one, but that would be Ben. All right, tell us about your cool thing.
Oh, I've been waiting on this one since last week. Okay. So,
perfectly good moment. I've never even heard of it. Oh, I haven't heard of it because I wouldn't have been in a place to hear about it yet. Ben, how would you know about something like this? I would love to hear.
Well, this is a small independent film that doesn't feel like a small independent film that recently played at the Julian Dubuque International Film Festival. It is written by the lead actress, Amanda Jane Stern, and directed by Lauren Goodall, with a absolutely fantastic score by, God, I can't think of his name. They're going to kill me. Mikey Colton. But why they do say it is a psychosexual thriller and an absolutely fantastic movie, it is much more than that. It's very much set here in the 21st century. And if you plan to see this in the film festival, stop this podcast right now because you will be spoiled.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Yes. Okay. You know, you can, it is that normal thing where it is not a healthy relationship. And, you know, there's a kind of a get back by the abused female protagonist. But it does have a uniquely 21st century twist in that you do not piss off a female engineer.
Hell no.
This film has quite possibly the best use of VR, MR, AR technology that I have ever seen. The depiction is absolutely perfect. Well, I don't want to spoil everything. I was almost clapping when I saw this twist.
Okay.
Nice.
So now I'm hoping. Oh, crap. was going to say, I hope this comes to the Boulder International Film Festival. Now I need to look and see if it was at the Boulder International Film Festival, because that's already Comic-Con.
Yeah, it was not, but it is at the Nevada Women's Film Festival in Vegas.
All right.
Yep. Also, May 18th, it's playing both at the Philly Independent Film Festival and in Fort Myers, Florida, if anybody wants to go get a tan.
Nice.
Awesome.
And I just saw on IMDb, they won the Best Use of Music Award at the festival, like Julian Dubuque International Film Festival. So,
yeah, and they should have, because nice. I don't say this often, because I mean, there's usually with independent movies, you can tell they don't have the highest budget.
Mm-hmm.
This could play as is in theaters. I put this very favorably against like Fatal Attraction or Basic Instinct.
Okay.
Nice.
Perfectly good moment.
Okay. Add it to my list.
Add it to my list. Awesome. All right, Patrice, what's your cool thing? Try and top that.
So my cool thing is kind of the opposite, but kind of related. It is a TV show with Nicolas Cage called
History of Swear Words.
I think, was it you who recommended that recently?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you for that. It is I think it's like 2 or 3 years old. It's a Netflix show called History of Swear Words. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to repeat the six words that they like. Basically, every episode is about one particular swear word, where it comes from, how it's used, how it changed. It is really, I mean, one, it's Nicolas Cage. So, he's awesome. Like, he's the host, but he's also kind of like playing with it and having fun and flipping sometimes in different characters. And like, you could clearly tell, like, he had a lot of fun doing the show. And I think everybody kind of did. I mean, there was like researchers, but there was also like actors and so on. Talking about the power of swear words and how to use them, mm-hmm. and that like in comedy and all that. It's just, I mean, for sure, if you're anti swear words, if you're like have kids and like all of that, okay, like not your cup of tea, totally mm-hmm. fine. But if you're into it, it is amazing. I mean, for sure, like there is no disclaimer or anything. Like, it just goes in. Like the second you get a swear word, like they know, okay, like this is our audience and we don't need to bleep anything or whatever. Like,
you mean they beat us in Deconstruct and I'm delivering a swear word?
No, we were a couple of years before, so
no, but I mean in terms of how far into the show.
Maybe
it might be a tie.
I think, yeah. It is. I mean, one, I learned a lot, like how swear words change, and that certain swear words that were really, really bad like decades ago are basically like nobody cares anymore about them these days, and they mm-hmm. will probably disappear very soon, or like not disappear, but just not be relevant as a swear word anymore and just be a normal word that everybody uses. And like stuff like that. So it's like from the really bad swear words to like things where you say, huh, okay, like sure, I've heard this word before, I've used this word before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to remember, I think it's damn was the one. I think I can say that on this show even, because it's not really a swear word for most people anymore.
Yeah. 6 episodes, and when you look at the show titles,
mm-hmm.
4 of the 6 they have censored the title with mm-hmm. asterisks. And 2 of them they have not. So bitch and damn are the two that are not censored.
Yes. Why? Nobody knows, but
whatever. But anyhow, yeah. I'm with you, Patrice. I love this. It's funny. It's definitely mm-hmm. entertaining, but it's also fascinating to learn the histories of these words.
Same. Like, I mean, language fascinates me in general, like the English language especially, but also other languages, like how they evolve, how they change, how they even came to be and all of that. So this is definitely right up my alley. Like, I'm a nerd about also accents and there's a little like tiny little play with accents in this as well, and like all of that. So yeah.
Yep. And what will not be censored is whatever Legos Jeff is going to be picking.
Oh, so great.
You know, I actually did consider bringing a Lego kit today, simply because it is May 4th and Lego always drops some new Star Wars kits on May 4th. But I didn't. Oh. And that's because instead I'm going with season two of Star Wars Visions on Disney Plus. So, so Star Wars Visions, the idea with season one was that they went to animation studios in Japan, and just a bunch of them, and said, "Can you create a Star Wars short in whatever style, whatever story you want to tell?" And they ended up with each of these, they're like maybe 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
And each one was very different from all the others. They were all really interesting stories, different art styles. Mm-hmm. And they're just these neat little encapsulated stories that take place in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And with season two, instead of going just to Japan, they went to animation studios around the world. And I've watched the first three episodes, and the reason I haven't watched more is because it was time to start recording the show. And my plan was I'll watch one this morning and then do some other things. And three episodes later, I'm like, oh crap, I have to turn this off.
Yeah, so what you're saying, Jeff, is that they're like this.
Yes, it's like a big tube of edible Star Wars, and once you start, you just can't stop. So the three that I've watched so far are just very different from each other, and really wonderfully told stories. And I love how the first episode, it's called Sith.
Mm-hmm.
And so you already know going into it something about it. It's going to relate to the Sith and the dark side of the Force in some way. And it's a really compelling, interesting story that revolves around the Sith. And I won't say anything else about it because I don't want to ruin it for anyone.
Yeah.
But these are great, and I can't wait to watch the rest of the season. And my only complaint is that there's only like 9 episodes, I think. And once I finish watching them, I will have seen them all. Yes, I will mm-hmm. watch them again, just like I did with season one. But I just want more. These are really, really well done stories.
Yep. You know, Jeff, attachment is the path to the dark side.
I feel darker already.
But what I really like about these is they exist within Legends continuity. So the studios have total creative freedom since they're not stepping on the canon storyline at all.
Right. Which is great because they have a blank Star Wars canvas to do what they please. And so you get these really fascinating stories. Yeah. Huh. So yeah, Star Wars Visions season two. And I think the next episode up for me, I think it's episode 4. I think that's the one that's done by Aardman Animation.
Oh
yeah. So nice. Very, very much looking forward to getting back to the episodes. Probably today, not going to lie.
Like now, after like, we get out of here.
After the show.
Yeah, very likely. I'll make some lunch and watch some more Visions. Yep. All right. So with that, wow, this has been a lot of fun doing the extended ending show. And it's crazy because I'm so familiar with our shows that it almost feels like we just did a regular show and not just an extended ending. Anyhow, Ben, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me on social media at Ben Raythig. The spelling is right there. If you're listening to this on the audio, just let's look at who the article's written by.
Right, because the article this week will be written by you. By the way, Ben, thank you. And Tom, if you're listening or watching, thank you too. The fact that both of you have stepped up to make sure that the shows actually get articles posted is such a big help. Thank you.
Yep. You can also find me at my website, raythig.tech. You can find me Tuesdays on Mac Voices of Chuck Joyner, Thursday nights In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsburg, Thursday and Friday here on the Mac and Big Shows.
Awesome. Awesome.
And 1 week a year at the Julian Dubuque International Film Festival,
where clearly they have some very high quality content.
And people.
Amen to that.
And people. Yep. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every week here on the Big Show on Thursdays, also the Mac Show on Fridays. So tomorrow, if you're listening to this live, otherwise I'm not sure you will get this in time. But we're here every Friday. Everything I'm doing, all the social media, like links, the podcast, the project, literally everything I'm doing, you can find on thepatrice.com. And if you're into food-related stories and memories, I have an interview show called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I interview really cool people about their food-related stories.
Awesome.
Yep, the cool people is why I haven't been invited yet.
What, you haven't? Okay, we have to change it. I thought I had already. I'm sorry. No, you're definitely on the list. So you're invited.
And Ben, when you're on, you're going to have a delightful time.
Mm-hmm. And going to be hungry after.
Yep, absolutely.
And me too. So.
Yeah. All right. So then I guess it means it's me. All right. So Mastodon and Instagram, I'm Jay Gamut on both. And then on most Tuesday evenings, I'm on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live with Ben. And then here I am on Thursdays on The Big Show. Most Thursday evenings on In Touch with iOS, Dave Ginsburg show, also with Ben. And then back on Fridays for the Mac show and also The Context Machine, the show that Brian Chaffin and I are doing together. And
which I am not on.
That's true. Well, there's no one else on. We end up not doing guests, which is probably for the best because.
Yeah, it's Brian's show. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because I mean it's our show, but it's Brian's show to talk and my show to just keep pushing his buttons.
True.
So
by the way, was there no show this week? Because I think I haven't gotten one in like 2 weeks or something.
We didn't do one last week. Schedules kind of fell apart, but we'll be recording probably on Friday the 5th. Okay. I say probably because it's either today or tomorrow, but I think it'll be a Cinco de Mayo show.
Nice. Okay, good. Then I didn't miss one. I was
kind you of did not pure. Miss one. No.
I mean, we know about schedules falling apart sometimes permanently, right, Ben?
Oh, remember when we did it at 8:30 in the morning, well, 7:30 for Jeff.
Uh-huh.
Like in the like 2:30 in the afternoon for you.
No, but I mean, we've done shows where the schedule permanently fell apart, so we know about that.
I think we've all been on shows where the schedule at some point permanently fell apart.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Thank you to both of you for being here on our, you know, it started off as the special edition with special guests, and then quickly evolved into the extended ending episode. but regardless, this has been an absolute blast, and I have thoroughly enjoyed getting to spend part of my morning, well, I guess now afternoon, with both of you. So thank you so much. Everyone that's watching or listening live, if you're participating in the chat room as well, hey, thank you for being here and being part of the show. So glad that you've joined us. Everyone that watches or listens to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Hey, Ewan, thank you just for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And TSO hosts, thank you for being here supporting us. Give them some online love and let them know you appreciate them too. And join us next Thursday for the big show again. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for the Mac show. And I think that's everything. So everyone, have an awesome weekend.